Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. One of the criminals who hung their hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen." Tonight, we're going to be speaking about God-fearing believers, God-fearing children of God, God-fearing youth, God-fearing church. Because if we're missing anything today, it's those people that fear God. Before I start, I would like you to pay very close attention to this message, because although it's a very simple progression and it's going to be made very simple, it's a very difficult topic. It's actually very challenging to speak about God's fear, because in our society, fear is always something negative. It's always something that we do not want to have this emotion. Well, I want you to pray, because it was meant for me as I'm preparing, and it's meant for you, the youth, as well as the church. And it has the chance and the opportunity to transform our lives. Sodom had no Bible. It was written by Leonard Ravenhill. Now, sometimes I post the pictures on there. These books are meant for you to get them from the library or from the bookstore, because it really will change your life. Leonard Ravenhill wrote, "By 2000, Christians will be a conscious minority surrounded by an arrogant, militant paganism." You see, he wrote that in 1979. That's 35 years ago. And when I read that, I thought, how did he know? How did this guy in 1979 know that by 2000 and 2014, and then year after, we're going to be a minority surrounded by paganism? And we see it every day in our society. Well, I strongly believe that first reason why he knows is because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The second thing I know is that he was looking at his society, at our grandparents, our parents, and he saw the decisions that they were making, and they were seeing what the decisions they were making, such as, right, pray out of the schools, Bible out of schools, you can't have Christian clubs anymore, you can't say anything negative towards any people, everything has to be politically correct. Well, those decisions that were made by our grandparents, our parents, now we need to make decisions. And if we stay within this prediction, probably by 2020, it's going to be even worse. Well, the good news, Jesus' return is imminent. He is coming. He's coming very soon. Because all these things that are happening in our society are happening because Jesus Christ and God led them to happen, but we're getting closer to his second coming. But here is the warning with the good news. Luke 18:8 says, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And even more specific to you, the youth, the question is, will he find you? When Jesus, Son of Man, comes back, will he find you a strong, faithful believer? Everything we believe in, everything we say, nowadays is seen as old-fashioned, right? Some call us didn't catch up with our times, delusional, backwards thinking. But in all that, we need to keep our faith strong, as Jesus Christ will be coming. So before we go any step further, I want yourself to checkpoint number one is, how is your faith? Check yourself. I mean, really think about your faith. Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, your Savior, your personal Savior, that he has changed your life? So first, think about that question. How is your faith? And since we're all here, I'm going to assume that we all still have God's faith. So what's the problem then? If we are all believers, then why are we minority? That means that as the population is getting larger, the statistics of Christians getting smaller. So we are either not true believers, or that we are a dying nation. We're a dying believer. What is the root of the problem? And that's going to be the next part. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people perish from lack of knowledge." With all that information, with internet, with magazines, books, cell phones, with all that information at the tip of our cell phone, we still lack true knowledge. And why is that? What is the beginning of knowledge? And Proverbs chapter 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That is the root. This is where our problem is, our fear of God. This is the most practical way you can evaluate yourself. Everything you do each day, everything you say, everything you look at, is do you fear God with that? So checkpoint number two, do you fear God? In today's society, fear is associated with negative feelings, as I said. Everything we look at, do, has, if fear is a negative, portrayed negatively, then how is fear a good thing for us Christians? We see through the Bible examples from Moses, David, Daniel, Esther, Ruth. We see people that feared God and that transformed their lives. They changed lives. And more important than that, those people were called men and women after God's own heart. So let's look closer to the fear of God. First of all, God requires that we fear Him. In Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, New Life Romanian Church, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." You see, all this goes hand in hand. It all makes sense. When we fear God, we obey Him. When we fear and obey God, we love Him. When we fear, obey, love God, we serve Him. And that's the ultimate purpose, serving God. Everywhere we are, at home, at work, at school, we need to serve God. So if we serve God, we need to make sure the root of the problem is that everything we do in serving Him, we have to fear God, we have to obey Him, we have to love Him. It's as simple as I could make it for you, kind of making sense of what it means to fear God. Why should we fear God? Well, Romans chapter 14:12 and 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God," right? "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." We are going to answer to God for everything we ever did. Every little thing. You can say, "Well, Lord, you see, I did all these good things for you. I mean, I came to church, I prayed, I sang, I went missions. But, you know, every now and then, Lord, I did a few bad things." You're going to have to answer for those things when you're going to be in His presence. God is requiring complete obedience to Him. Complete surrendering. I surrender all to Jesus, correct? I mean, that's what the song says. And He wants us to surrender to Him completely. Well, since the first day of school, we are taught to have goals, have plans, right? First day of school says, in a year, where are you going to be? In 5 years, in 10 years, where are you going to be in your life? Well, the same way with fear of God is you have to look at the end. When judgment day, when you will see God, Jesus, face to face, what will happen then? You have to recognize that that's your judgment day. And that's the day in which you have to appear in front of Jesus. Well, see, the thing with it is that we cannot stand in front of Jesus. I'm sorry to tell you. We can try very hard to fear God, to do all those things, but we can't stand in front of Jesus because what He did, His ultimate way, His ultimate example of fear is what happened in Luke, okay? When Jesus was on that cross, okay? When two criminals where one of them was saying to Jesus, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourselves and us." But the other person said, "Stop. Don't you fear God? I fear God. I deserve to be on that cross, on this cross. He doesn't." Same way here. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took everything upon himself. And if you don't fear that you're supposed to be there, I'm supposed to be there, not him, then we're playing around with Christianity. "Don't you fear God," he says. "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. This is the man of God." So we have to recognize that Jesus Christ died for our sins. The man, Son of God, died for our sins. We can keep going about our daily lives, living in this nice American dream, never remembering anything about what Jesus did to us. We will never be like this criminal. In fact, I guarantee you, he will be there at Judgment Day. And I don't want him to say to me or you that we did not fear God. So move away. The next time you do anything, always don't ask, "What would Jesus do?" We can't be like Jesus. Yeah, we need to follow in his footsteps, and that's a good question. But next time, instead, ask yourself, "Do I fear God? Does it show him that I obey him, that I love him? Is that a service to God, or is it a service to myself?" Mine, right? Everything about me. The cross is the ultimate way to show your fear of God. So checkpoint number 3 is Jesus paid it all. Do you recognize who's on that cross? Supposed to be me and you, but instead it's Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, friends, next time you want to play around, you want to just live your life, that nobody bugs you, nobody tells you your question or asks you any questions, continuing sin after sin, ask yourself, "Do you fear God?" Now, how do you practically, and I thought about this a lot, how do you practically check point number 3? How do you know if you fear God? Well, very simple. First, let's have your parents come up here. Let's have your friends come up here. Let's have your colleagues from work come up here and talk about you. Are you afraid of what they're going to say? If you are, then there's a problem with who you're fearing. Because you may be fearing people when you should be fearing God, and the things you did in front of them should never have been done. If you're yelling at your wife or your husband, if you disrespect your parents, then you know what? That does not show a fear of God. So the best way to check first is to think about what would you do, or what would you do if Frater Silva would come to your office where you work? What would the people around you say? I went to my dad's work at 15 years of age. I walked into the building. Every single person that I talked to said, "What a man. What a wonderful man. What a fearing man of God. What, never lies, never cheats." That's our examples from which we can take that. The next way to check yourself is, what if Jesus Christ would come here today? What would he say about you? Would he be able to say, right, "A son or daughter after my own heart"? I pray that God will. And I pray that tonight you start to fear God starting the moment now and when you go home. Amen.